For our public reading of God's Word this morning, turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Now, the Gospel of Luke is the third Gospel of the New Testament. You have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. So turn to Luke, chapter 1, and I'm going to pick up our story in verse 26. Last week, we left off looking at the visitation to Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, on what God was going to do with this elderly couple who were unable at this time to even have a child because they were well stricken in years. They were senior citizens, if you will. And Elizabeth was barren. She was unable to bear a child. And maybe when it comes to Zacharias, he was unable to facilitate bringing that child into the womb. And then we left off the fact that as soon as Zacharias got home, after he did his 2 weeks there in the temple, burning incense on the altar of prayer, immediately when he gets home, Elizabeth is found to be with child. And then we look at that verse 24. It said that she was put away into seclusion for 5 months during this part of her pregnancy. And yet she was rejoicing in the fact that God had visited her in such a way. So let's pick up now with the visitation to Mary. Verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor, or literally, you have found grace with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now the word Jesus is Greek, and the Hebrew equivalent is the word Joshua. And whether it's Joshua or Jesus, it means Jehovah saves. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. So that's the message of the angel to Mary. Now watch Mary's response to all of this. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Well, if you go back to verse 27, Mary was engaged to Joseph. Mary was Joseph's fiance. They were engaged. And in that time and in that culture, her engagement was going to last a full year before the wedding and finally the consummation of a husband and wife together on the night of their wedding. And so Mary and Joseph were engaged, but in the eyes of the village and in the eyes of their custom, they were already husband and wife, but they had not yet come together in a physical sense to consummate the marriage, meaning they did not yet have a relationship and an intimate physical attachment. The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now notice in verse 35, you find something which many people reject or even deny, but it's part of the Christian faith. One of these things that we call a mystery. Not because it's spooky, not because it's like a Dick Tracy movie and you got to find the bad guy by getting a bunch of clues to solve the mystery. But beloved, you find the Trinity found here. Notice the Holy Ghost, that's the third person of the Godhead. The power of the Highest, that's God the Father. And then the holy thing, or the one who is going to be conceived in Mary's womb, is called the Son of God. So there you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in Christian theology, we call that the Trinity. There is one God in person, one God in being, one God in essence, but three divine persons in the Godhead. We don't worship three separate gods. No, no. We worship one God in his being, in his essence, in his substance. But in his personhood, there are three: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth. So here we see that Mary and Elizabeth were related to each other. They were cousins. She had also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said to the angel, Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. So notice in verses 38 that here Mary, now notice Mary's response versus Zechariah's response that we read 2 weeks ago. Zacharias was simply laughed. He had unbelief. Me, an old man, how am I going to be able to even bring forth a child into the world? And because of his unbelief, the angel stricken him with the inability to speak. And Zacharias was going to be unable to speak for 9 months until John was born. And then they were going to ask his father and his mother, what are you going to call this boy's name? And that's when Zacharias was able to speak finally, and he said, his name shall be John. But notice here, Mary doesn't respond with unbelief. Now, she simply questions the fact, how can I bring forth a child when I have not consummated my marriage relationship with Joseph? When she says, I know not a man, this doesn't mean that she was unaware of other men in the village. No, she was engaged to Joseph. When the Bible uses this term here, to know, like for instance in the book of Genesis, Adam knew his wife and she conceived. It meant to have a physical relationship between a man and a woman, which eventually brings forth a child into the world. And so Mary was simply questioning, how can this be? I haven't yet consummated my marriage. And then the angel tells her, the third member of the Trinity is going to overshadow you, and you will bring forth a child. And his name shall be called Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, we are told, Joseph was told, you're going to call him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So Jesus came in order to live the perfect life under the perfect law of his Father, and then to die a death to take our place on the cross so that you and I may have the hope of everlasting life by trusting and resting in him and him alone. Well, may God choose to bless his word.